Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Of course, in light of everyone and so many reading through their Bibles, and I hope that you are doing it again. I hope some others, in fact, I know of several others who have been challenged to read through their Bibles, and you're trying to do it. 5 chapters a day, and you can read through your Bible in a year, and I hope you'll do it. I really do, and it will help you. It'll be a blessing to you. But in light of that, I want to preach a message tonight entitled Taking Heed to God's Word. And it's kind of in line with several messages I've preached recently, talking about we will not hearken, we're not going to listen. But really, it's just very practical. I started to entitle it Read and Heed, because really, if you read the Word of God, that is part of it. Next thing is do what God says. And this passage is just so helpful in starting with verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Father, thank you again for the privilege we have to meet in this church with these dear people for a great weekend. Lord, we saw a lot of cheering. We saw a lot of rejoicing. And yet we also saw a lot of sorrow as well. And there are those with tears right at the edge of the eyelid. Lord, for many here tonight, difficult times, tough things. And so we need you, and we ask for your help and your guidance as we look at your word. Please make it practical in our lives. Help us to not only read, but to heed what you say. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading this passage and thinking about verse 9, of course, that is a verse that we have young people memorize often. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And it's not just a young man, it's anybody. Take heed. You can read your Bible and it's good. And it's a wonderful thing. You read through your Bible last year, that is a tremendous thing. And it is a very important thing. And it's something I think every Christian should do. You should read through your Bible. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it in a year. Brother Collins, I believe, how many times do you read through yours every year, Brother Collins? 3 times every year. But you may read through your Bible one time every 2 years. And that's fine. But we ought to read through our Bible. Amen. We ought to, we say we love the Bible. We say, that we believe the Bible. And we'll take a stand on the King James Bible, and yet we'll take a stand on a book we've never read all the way through. And so you need to read it all the way through. But next, then, you need to heed what it says. And it is one thing to read it, and certainly it will help you. It'll be a blessing to you as you read it. I mean, you can get in the Psalms and get real excited about praising the Lord and a lot of good things in the Psalms and a lot of instruction, of course, in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And you can learn doctrine in the book of Romans and learn about Jesus and the Gospels and all those things. But there's so much practical truth in the Word of God that if we just would heed what He said, it would help us. Now here, it's going to help with cleansing. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man have his way cleansed? How can he have a clean life? But it says here, taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so I just wrote down 3 things that I find in this passage that I think will help you. And you might want to write them down just next to the chapter here or somewhere in there. The first thing that I see is inspection. Inspection. And the Word of God is good for inspection. You ought to read the Word of God wanting inspection on your life. You should not just read it for the stories, although the stories are great. You should not just read it for the doctrine, although the doctrine is what we need. You shouldn't read it just to say you read it, although you need to read it. But try reading it saying, God, inspect, I want to inspect me. I want to know about me. And verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. We read the Word of God to inspect ourselves, to find out what we really are. You know, it's easy to compare ourselves to other people. And maybe you, at the factory where you work or wherever it is you work, the office you work in or whatever it is, maybe you're the best Christian there. Maybe you are the best Christian in your classroom. Maybe you're the best Christian in your family. But that's not a good inspection. The best inspection is to compare you with what God wants you to be. And the only way you can know that is through the Word of God. Inspection is crucial as we read our Bibles. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. Keep your place in Psalm 119. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. A familiar verse, one that many have memorized. But you ought to have it underlined. You ought to have it circled. You ought to have references to it. For the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now again, the Word of God will inspect your heart. It will inspect your thoughts. It is the one thing that as we read it, it knows, because God knows how we think. And the Word of God will compare our thoughts to what they really ought to be. It'll compare what's in our heart to what it really ought to be. And only can the Word of God pierce through our heart and get into our thoughts and our intents and what's really in our hearts. We need an inspection. You say, preacher, does it really do that? Yeah. You read the Bible and say, God, search me. Search me and know my heart. Search me, God. As I read the Word of God, I want you to open me up, literally. I want you to inspect me. I want the Word of God to show me what it is in my life that needs to be changed. I want a true inspection. The comparison we use all the time is found in James 1. Again, let's go to James 1, but keep our place in Psalm 119, James chapter 1. And the comparison is made to a mirror. James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so here's a man looking in a mirror, and he's looking in the mirror to see what he looks like. And the Bible says that a doer is somebody who sees what he looks like, and maybe sees that he has a hair out of place, or in my case, a lot of hairs out of place, or he sees that he has crud between his teeth, or he sees that he has something hanging off his nose, and he looks in the mirror, and the doer does something about it. The doer sees a smudge on his face and washes the smudge off. But the hearer only, he sees the smudge and he puts the mirror down and says, I don't like that mirror, and he walks away. Now, here's what God says. God says to us, let the Word of God inspect you. I mean, seriously, look at the Word of God and compare your life to what God says. Now, but don't just set it down and get mad at the Word of God, just like you shouldn't get mad at preaching. You shouldn't get mad at Bible teaching. You shouldn't get mad during chapel, young person. You shouldn't get mad in church, adult. You shouldn't get mad in Sunday school. As God uses His Word to show you something about yourself, instead of just throwing the Word down and saying, I don't like what it says, get the smudge off. Make the change. Inspection is crucial with the Word of God. As you read the Bible, ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to change your life. Ask God to do whatever He wants to do as His Word inspects our lives. It is one of the most tragic things, I think, in a Christian's life is when we compare ourselves with each other. Because you'll always find somebody who's worse than you. Iron sharpeneth iron, and I got news for you, nothing sharper than the Word of God. You ought to hang around good, solid Christians. You ought to hang around Christians who are more spiritual than you. But our tendency, unfortunately, is to get around somebody who's not as spiritual, and then we feel spiritual. Listen to me. You're not going to grow that way. The only way you're going to grow is through inspection from the Word of God. So now, folks, as you're reading through your Bible, let God inspect you. Let the inspection take place of your life, where God is looking with the Word of God and inspecting your life and making a comparison, not with the guy next door, not with the guy sits in the same pew, not with the person who's always getting in trouble. No, comparing you to God's Word. Well, there's always room for, you know, honestly, if you pick up the Word of God and you have that attitude, you'll always find something. Amen. Often I pray in Sunday school, often I pray in a church service, and I say, God, help us to be different from when we came. Because, I mean, seriously, honest, if we're honest with ourselves and we really let God do the inspecting in our lives through His Word, we're going to find something. I promise you this, you'll find something in this passage. God will show you something about you that can change. God will show you. There will be some smudge that can be washed off. There will be something. Inspection. Number two is correction. Correction. Certainly we need inspection, but this passage deals a lot with correction. Because it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There needs to be correction. And again, according to the Word of God, you know, it is our correction as well as our inspection. It is the Word of God that does the inspecting, but is also the Word of God that does the correcting. Just like when I look in the mirror and I see that smudge on my face, and I'm inspected by the mirror and it shows me the smudge, but I also have to look in the mirror to make sure I get that smudge off. Have you ever tried to look at your face without a mirror? Do it right now, everybody. It's hard. Some of you really tried. You did. Thank you, Kayla. I appreciate you really trying. Thank you. I'm so glad you did. But anyway, you're going to have to get a mirror. Okay? You know, you ever have somebody say to you, and I won't embarrass my wife. Have you ever had anybody say to you, do I have anything between my teeth? You ever have anybody do that? Try to look at your teeth without a mirror. It's hard to do, especially, anyway. See, here's the thing, though. The Word of God is the mirror that we use for inspection, but it's the same mirror that we use for correction. And that's why God says, here's how you cleanse your way. Take heed. Take heed thereto according to thy word. Okay, don't just read it. Don't just see the problem. James said, don't be a hearer only. Be a doer. Do something about the problem. Do something about whatever it is that God has shown you. That is, you know, that's why it's so sad that we'll give an altar call. In every service we give an altar call. And God has spoken to your heart. God has shown you something in the inspection through His Word. And He's shown us something. And then the altar call is given, we do nothing about it. It's like we want to put the mirror down. You cannot make the correction without the Word of God. You need that just as you needed it for the inspection. What is correction? Well, some examples in the Bible. Of course, Psalm 51, David, after his sin with Bathsheba, just preached about that. You know, there's a good example, Psalm 51. By the way, it wouldn't hurt us to read Psalm 51 every now and then. It wouldn't hurt you. You say, okay, I need to get right with God. Read Psalm 51. It's a good place to start, honestly. You know, go to Jonah, the book of Jonah. I mean, Jonah did his own thing. You say, well, I mean, Jonah, he didn't do anything really wicked. He did not do what God told him to do. And God had to correct him by him being cast into the waters, and God had to send a whale to swallow him, literally saved his life, but yet it took that for Jonah to get right with God. God had to correct him. Now, I said this the other day. You're better off to be corrected by the conviction of the Word of God than you ever are to be swallowed by a whale. You're much better off to in church to get on an altar and pour your heart out to God. God, I'm sorry I did this, than to do it in a hospital bed. Amen. Peter, he had to get right with God. The prodigal son had to get right with his father. The publican cried out, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." I mean, the Bible is full of examples of God correcting a person and that person then getting things right with God. That's what we need to do. We're still an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We still have an altar call. A lot of churches have stopped having altar calls. But I'm going to tell you why pastors do, because they give invitations and nobody comes. And I got news for you. It's not always the pastor's fault. In fact, most of the time, a pastor will preach the Word of God. Do you know there isn't a perfect person in this room? From here all the way back and side to side, not one perfect person. So, I mean, seriously, you open up the Word of God, I'm not sure how any of us could read very much of it without recognizing an area of correction. I mean, if we really let God inspect our lives, and I'm talking about our lives, every part of it, no secrets, I'm serious. I think we're going to find areas that need correction over and over. And God gives us examples throughout the Bible. I mean, it is also taught in the Scripture. Look at Ezekiel 18. Just read this the other day. Ezekiel 18 and verse 31. "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" I wonder why will you die spiritually? Because you will die spiritually if you're not willing to make the corrections that God puts in your heart. "Well, you know, God didn't convict me about that." You know, I have a hard time believing that service after service after service after Bible reading after Bible reading after Sunday school class after teaching time. It's hard for me to imagine that there's not something that has to be corrected in our lives. Now, I look out here, I think this is some of the best people in Lenawee County right here. But there's not one that's perfect. And he says, "Cast away from you your transgressions. Make a new heart, a new spirit." Why will you die? Why will you die spiritually? Do you know why good churches die? Because people quit correcting. Because it just becomes day after day after day. I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, but there's never any growth. I've asked God, I want to keep growing. I'm 52 years old, but I want to keep growing. I want to keep growing till I'm dead. That should be our desire. Amen. Look at, let me just read it. Joel 2, verse 12. "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Turn ye even to me." It's as God corrects us, turn to Him. You say, "I'm just not as on fire as I used to be." Turn to Him. Why is that? And by the way, did you lose your first love? Because God gets after His people for losing their first love. "Turn ye even to me with all your heart." And maybe that's the problem right there. All your heart. Does God have all your heart? Then you say, "Well, no, preacher. I'm giving it to here and here and here and here and here and here." Then there's an area of correction. Matthew 3:2, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is at hand. God's people need the inspection of the Word of God, but they also need the correction of the Word of God. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How can you clean your way? How can our way be cleansed if we don't take heed to the Word of God? if we don't do what the Word of God has told us to do. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You know, just understand, folks, the correction is asking God's forgiveness. And we have His forgiveness. Seriously, it's not a matter of having to beg for forgiveness. Are you listening? His forgiveness is available through His blood. You know, as a parent, you've watched your kids ask for forgiveness before, and they were kind of nervous about it. And I realize, you know, we're supposed to, as parents, we're supposed to always forgive and everything, but we kind of can make it tough on them. Understand this, God never does that. He never does that. You know, some religions do. Well, you're going to have to say 35 Hail Marys and write an article into Jude in the paper and rub some rosary beads and, you know, do all these kind of things. And I've often thought, you know, well, if you really want forgiveness, you can wash the windows or no. But do you know that God has no qualifications on why? Because it's under the blood. Amen. What do I have to do then? Well, if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. What's confess? To say the same thing He says about it. How do I know? Inspection. And so you need correction. And it's a matter of saying, God, this is wrong, and I know it's wrong. Come on. How much stuff is in our lives we know is wrong? Okay, just all you have to do, go to your computer, push that little button that says history, and see what you looked at last week. I mean, really, there's so many things that's wrong in our lives. But we don't have to crawl up steps on our knees. We don't have to go through a ritual of any kind. What do we need to do? We need to go to God and say, God, according to Your Word, this thing I'm doing is wrong. It is sinful. It's wicked. And God, I want You, I'm asking You to forgive me. And I want it out of my life. That's what we need. It's reading the Bible to let it cleanse our way. Taking heed to God's Word. Inspection. Correction. And then the last step is protection. Protection. You know, and it's in this passage. And you know, it's staying clean. It's staying right with God. You know, how do people get backslidden? They get backslidden because as God inspects them and as God corrects them, they say, I don't want it. They say, I'm not interested. They say, oh, I like that sin. They say, oh, no, I'm not going to let go of that. They go a certain direction or a certain distance with God, and but then it comes to a pet sin. It comes to a sin that so easily besets them. And they say, you know what, I like that too much. I don't want to let go of that. There's folks all over this room struggling with that very kind of thing, and that's how we get backslidden. Because you say no to God enough, you can call Him Lord all you want, but your actions speak louder than your words. And honestly, if we say no to God, He's not our Lord. And so as God, as we read our Bible and there's inspection and then there's correction, you know, the best time in the world to start in the protection phase is when you get up off the altar. You say, okay, I don't want to be here again. I don't want to go through this again. You know, how do you get rid of a bad habit? That's exactly how, right there. First you identify the habit, then you do something about the habit, and then you do everything you can to keep yourself from that thing. Everything you possibly can. You know, if you've been an alcoholic, then you got to stay away from alcohol, period. You can't go where they serve alcohol. You can't say, oh, the best tenderloins are at so-and-so's bar. Forget that. Oh, the best pizza's over at such and such. No, you have to stay away from it. You cannot go near it. I told you that we started our church in Bern, Indiana. I'm counseling a guy, and he says, "You know, I have a problem with impure thoughts. I have trouble thinking." And this is a married man; he had children, and he said, "I have trouble thinking impure thoughts about women." And I said, "Man, I said, let me try to help you with it." And I said, "Are you reading your Bible?" "Yes." "Are you doing what God says as you read your Bible?" "Yes, I'm doing that." I said, "Do you go any place where you might see?" People that aren't dressed right now. "Well, we go to Pine Lake." I can still see it. We're sitting in a restaurant, and I said, "Well, you got to stop going there." I said, "Are women in bathing suits?" "Oh, yeah, they are." And I said, "Then you got to stop going there. You can't go there. If you are having these wrong thoughts," I said, "you cannot go places where there's half-naked women. You just can't do it." He says, "What?" He said, I'm not gonna quit doing that." I said, "Then you're not going to quit lusting either. Because you are, God is trying to protect you. Why don't we get smart and let God protect us?" Real quick, look what he says. Verse 10, first of all, he says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." Prayer. There's protection right there. Prayer. "With my whole heart have I sought." I mean, do you really want your life to be different? Or do you just kind of like the same old, same old? Prayer. "God, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I want my way cleansed. I want to grow. And with my whole heart, I'm seeking you." When's the last time you prayed that way? When is the last time? Verse 10, he says, "Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Obedience. "Don't let me wander from thy commandments." When's the last time you prayed that? "God, help me to keep your commandments. Help me to obey you, God." What is that? That's protection. You know, I mean, who likes to get right with God? Who likes the conviction of doing wrong? Who likes to have that goad, that pricks your heart when the conviction of God comes and you feel bad about what you've done and you feel guilty and you think everybody knows, and the truth is God knows and you know. And you get on the altar and you pour your heart out to God and get right with God, and you walk away and say, "Boy, I don't ever want to do that again." Okay, pray. Pray that way. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." God, help me to obey your word no matter what. I promise you, you start praying that way and you start talking to God that way, I guarantee you, your whole attitude will change. Because God will help you to keep his commandments. He really will. Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You talk about a protection? Hide God's word in your heart. Hide his word in your heart. Memorize the word of God. You know, if nothing else, memorize that verse right there. "That I might not sin against thee." You know, if that just kept going through your mind and going through your heart all day long, "That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee." And somebody comes along and they say, "Hey, let's go to this party, and there's going to be some booze there, and there's going to be girls there. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. Hey, this show is on TV, and they only cuss a few times, but you can handle that. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin against thee. Here's this opportunity to do this thing. Now you're going to have to lie in order to do it. That I might not sin against thee. That I might not." Well, what was it that caused Joseph to flee with Potiphar's wife? What was it? I mean, come on, Joseph ends up going to prison for it, but you know what it was? It was "that I might not sin against thee." God, I can't sin against you! And he fled! How are you going to flee? How are you going to flee? The protection is the word of God. Memorize it. Again, once you're clean, you should like clean. Amen. I mean, seriously, we don't have a pig nature. We have a sheep nature. Was that a bah? Bah. Sheep don't like to be dirty. Pigs do. Yeah, we don't need the oink. You know, memorizing the Word of God, it'll protect you. Honestly, there's nobody in this room that is saying, you know, I'm just really hoping I can backslide real bad and I can be like the prodigal son. It's never that way. But if you don't want to be like the prodigal son, you're going to have to follow the steps for protection. Prayer, obedience, memorizing the Word of God. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Learn. Learn. Amen. Learn. Teach me thy statutes. Learn the Word of God and be around people that know the Word of God. And study Bible characters and learn about the Bible character. I loved our study on the apostles. And that helped me. It was a blessing to me. Learn how to protect yourself as you're a child and as you grow as a Christian, as a new Christian. You learn how to avoid certain things. And I don't know if there's a more exciting time in a person's life than when they first get saved and God starts speaking to their heart and they start getting rid of junk and quit doing wicked things. It is such a great thing. But God wants you to learn. Because it will protect you. You know, a little baby, you have to wash them. You have to clean them up. I mean, they'll barf all over themselves and they don't care. Right? I mean, it'd stay forever if you didn't clean it off. But as they get older, they start cleaning themselves up. You hope. We have some adults that haven't learned that, but unfortunately, we have a lot of Christians who have not learned how to protect themselves either. And they've not, and the psalmist says it best, teach me thy statutes, Lord. Teach them to me. Teach me the law. Teach me thy commandments. Teach me thy word. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me how to do what I need to do. Teach me. Verse 13, he says this, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Talk about it. Talk about the Word of God. That's a great protection. Do you know when you talk about God and you talk about the things of God, those that would influence you to do wrong will stay away? You know that's true. Larry, right after you got saved, all those old friends kind of stayed away from you, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
So did mine. They just did. It just all of a sudden, it's like I'm talking about going to church, I'm talking about spiritual things, I'm talking about the Christian school, and all of a sudden, all my old friends, they don't want to be around me anymore. What has happened to you? I don't know. You talk about Jesus, and the old crowd doesn't want to hear that. You talk about protection, the more you tell others, the more you tell people you got saved, the more you tell people that you're a Christian, the more you tell people about growing in the Lord and about decisions you make, honestly, the more you talk about Jesus, the better protection you have. Always, no question about it. There's always somebody who's going to try to drag you down. And the more you talk about the Lord, they'll go find somebody else to attack. Somebody that's weaker. Talk about the Lord. And about the things of the Lord. Look at verse 14. It says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. There you go. Have a joyful attitude. A joyful attitude. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Amen. A joyful attitude. You know, we need to quit pouting. It protects us to rejoice. It is a protection to praise the Lord. It is protection. It tells the devil, hey, you might as well forget about it, devil. Because I'm rejoicing. Oh, there's so many he can go after who don't rejoice. Joyful attitude. Verse 15, he says, I will meditate in thy precepts. You want protection in your life? Meditate in thy precepts. Meditate. Meditate. And have respect unto thy ways. You know, meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on preaching that you hear. Meditate on songs that we sing. The songs of the month. I mean, after we sing those a couple times, don't you find yourself singing them? You should. It should be what we do. It's protection. It's protection. I every now and then I hear somebody say, yeah, my guardian angel has to work overtime. And I think, somebody needs to knock you upside the head. Or just give him some help. All right? Sing songs and meditate on the Word of God and meditate on the things of God and meditate on the messages of God. Again, it's for you to cleanse your way. And then verse 15, it says, have respect unto thy ways. Respect God. Respect unto thy ways, God. How quick we are to criticize. How quick we are to criticize. A young person criticizes their parents. Are they criticizing God? I don't know why I had to have them as my parents. Who made them your parents? Respect. Respect for God. Do you know that most of our griping is against God? It really is. But I'll tell you what will protect you is to have respect for God. Respect unto thy ways. And then verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Notice what he says, I will not forget thy word. What's that mean? Every day I'm going to read my Bible. Every day. You want protection? Read your Bible every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. I read five chapters. I read a proverb. Sometimes I'll read Ecclesiastes, read a chapter out of there every day. Why do you do that, preacher? I do it to obey God, but I also do it to protect myself. I read Proverbs because I need wisdom. I beg God for wisdom constantly. Sometimes I'll read Psalms if I get down, if things are just really piling up, I'll get in the book of Psalms and I'll read praises and I'll read Psalms and you'll notice this about Psalms. Often it'll start off pretty rough, but then it always ends up praising God. That's what I want in my life. Sometimes it does start off kind of rough. Sometimes a day will start off rough. Sometimes a week starts off rough, but I just want to end up praising Him. And I might start off in kind of a grouchy mood and kind of a gripey mood, but I want to end up praising Him. Amen. Daily, every day. Why? It'll protect you. Well, I'm pretty down right now, preacher. Then get on the altar and say, God, show me what's wrong. Help me to correct it. Do whatever you need to do in my life. And then help me to protect myself so I never get like this again. I don't know if you've ever been really backslidden. I've known some people that have gotten really backslidden. The Bible gives us examples of people who've really gotten back. Do you know what they always say? They always say, right there is where it is. It never starts off with some wicked, vile sin. That's not typically where it starts. You know where it starts? It starts in the church service when God says, I'm speaking to your heart. You need to get this thing right. And they neglect the correction. Or maybe they have the correction, but they forget the protection. And pretty soon they're right back where they were. Inspection, correction, protection. From Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Let's bow our heads, please. I'm so proud of folks reading through their Bibles. I'm so proud so many are doing it. Let's take heed to what we read. Father, bless our invitation. Help us with decisions. I pray that you have inspected our hearts, our lives. I pray that wherever a correction is needed, we'll make that correction. And I would ask you, Lord, that each of us would take the steps that we need to take for protection. Lord, that we would be what you want us to be at all times. Help us to be right with you, I pray in Jesus' name.